First of all, I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. And as is most often the case when I present a lesson, it's something that I need myself. And so that's certainly the case this morning as we discuss the topic that we're about to discuss. And I hope that you get as much out of it as I have. Sermon to come up. We'll be talking about dealing with sin and other difficulties in our life. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And as Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians, in this particular chapter, he wants to make them aware of something. And I think it's something that we as Christians need to be aware of in our day-to-day lives. Read with me from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with them, or with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to the wise. Judge ye what I say. Paul talks about a lot of the sins and issues that the Israelites had to deal with, and he's talking about in a negative context about some of the things that they were overcome by, some of the difficulties, the sins, the temptations that they succumbed to. And he's doing this in a way of warning to make us aware of it. As we live our day-to-day lives, there are many challenges that we face. Is there an on button on this? On the side. It always helps if you turn it on. Love technology. So as we live our day-to-day lives, we know that there are many challenges that we're going to face. There are going to be temptations that are put in front of us. There are going to be difficulties that we have to deal with, physical infirmities, illness, accidents, things of a financial nature that may cause us difficulty. And we know that this is the case. And so we need to think about those things. We know that we'll all be tempted. James 1 and verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. 1 Corinthians, which we just read, tells us that there's no temptation that's overtaken us except which is common to man. So we know from these passages that we're going to be tempted. And the fact of the matter is that we've all given into that temptation at times, just like the people that Paul talked about in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Romans 3, verse 23 tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we know we're going to be tempted, and we know there are times when we're going to give in to that temptation and commit sin. We're all going to have bad things and good things happen in our lives. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 11 and 12 say, I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Just because we are swift or we're strong doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to win the race, because there are things that are beyond our control. And we need to understand that and be prepared to deal with those things. So that being the case, what can we do to meet these challenges and to make the right choices? One of the most important things that we can do is to prepare to make the right choices. Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 17 talk about putting on the whole armor of God. And that passage is getting across the idea that we have to prepare ourselves. Other passages like Matthew 4, verse 3 tell us to study, that we have to study to be prepared. And I'm going to back up just a second because I had one other comment I wanted to make here and I kind of skipped over it. But the bottom line is, I think that many of the times that the mistakes that we make are because we don't prepare ahead of time. That we don't study, we don't think about the things that can happen and prepare ourselves to deal with those. I know in my own life, there are things that come up and I get upset because I wasn't prepared to deal with that. And I think that being prepared will help us to meet those. So getting back to this point about studying, if we study the Word and we know what God wants us to do, it makes it that much easier to do the right thing. Now, we still have to do it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, the idea of study, preparing yourself so that you're ready to give an answer, you're ready to make the right choice because you know what the right choice is. And it's difficult to make the right choice if you don't know what the right choice is. So first of all, we have to be prepared and study. And again, in 2 Timothy 3:16, we're told that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we can be completely and thoroughly equipped to do the work that we're supposed to do, to make the right decisions. Another thing that we can do to prepare ourselves is to look for those who are good examples for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are a number of what we might call heroes of faith. A lot of times this chapter is referred to as the chapter of heroes of faith. And we can use them as our examples. Paul used some negative examples in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. We can learn from those. We can learn from not only the good example of other people, but we can also learn from their mistakes and try not to repeat those mistakes. Abel, for example, in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, of course, he brought a sacrifice that was pleasing to God because he listened to what God told him. It's evident from the text that they were told what to do, and he did what he was supposed to do. Cain did not. Noah, of course, we all know the story of Noah and how God told him to prepare an ark. And he continued to preach to those around the whole time he was building that ark, which was quite a long time. 150 years, I think it was, if I remember right. But the point is that he was continuing to preach to those around him, continuing to be a good example to those around him, and we can learn from his good example. Abraham and Sarah, in verses 8 through 19, first of all, talks about Abraham being told by God to go to a land that he would show him. Had no idea where he was going, but he trusted in God and did what God told him to do, and God took care of him. Then in their old age, they were blessed with a child whom they prayed for. And that we see the example that they set for us in their faith. Doesn't mean they were perfect. All of these people were human beings just like we are. They made mistakes. But we can see their good example and how they reacted. We know we're going to make mistakes, but are we willing to make the correction in our lives that we need to? Paul, of course, was a good example for us to look at. And when you think about the life of Paul and how he, first of all, was converted, very zealous as a Jew, persecuting the church and so forth, and was converted, and the force he became for righteousness, for spreading of the gospel. And in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 10, therefore I take, he's talking about the infirmities that he has in the flesh here. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, I was given a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will gather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What a good example for us to think about when we think about dealing with the problems that we deal with. Is the example that Paul gives, in that he rejoiced in the infirmities that he had. He rejoiced or took pleasure in all of the reproaches and persecutions and distresses that he underwent as he spread the gospel. Because it was because of the love that Christ had for him and the knowledge and the belief that Christ would take care of him that made him strong. It wasn't his own strength that came from Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Again, it's not that you're following Christ, I'm following Paul because he was just a man, but you're following him in as much as he followed Christ. It ultimately comes down to Christ's example. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And of course that brings us to our ultimate example, Christ. And while we can look to men that we trust and know, and there are men in this congregation, there are women in this congregation who are good examples to those around them. We can learn from their good example. But we also need to keep in mind that they are human and they will make mistakes. And it's really, there's a need for us to help one another. And we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes, that we need to help each other out and be a good example to each other. Another thing that we need to do as we're facing choices in our life, in addition to being prepared, we need to be careful about the places and people that can tempt us to make bad choices. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We need to be able to reach out to those in the world and teach them without getting caught up in activities that are sinful and that can lead us into sin. And so we have to be careful about what activities we involve ourselves in, what places that we go. The internet can be a very, very dangerous place. There are many good things that we can use the internet for. There's also a lot of evil that is involved there, and things that can lead us into sin, gambling, pornography, violent and sexually explicit videos and things of that nature. So we need to be careful about getting ourselves into a situation that can lead us into sin. Up to this point, we've talked about sin and some of the things that are, you know, that we can do to help avoid sin. And we briefly mentioned the fact that there are some things that happen to us in this life that basically are beyond our control. Sickness, accidents and so forth. And so I want us to think for a few minutes about those type of things and what we can do to help us get through those difficult times in our lives. Sometimes when things happen to us that are bad, and I know I've done this myself, I've said, why is this happening to me? Why is God letting this happen to me? Well, we need to recognize that God is in control, and there are things on this earth that are set in motion. Passages like Matthew 5, I think it's verse 45, talk about the rain falling on the just and the unjust. There are things that happen to all of us that are common to man. And some of those things are bad. And it's not that God is doing this to us. When you think about heaven and you think about the contrast between heaven and earth, and how difficult things can be on this earth, but if we're faithful and we deal with those things and we live the kind of lives that we should, we repent when we make mistakes, we can have a home in heaven where all of these things aren't there. All of these distresses and temptations are not there. And so that should be the goal that we keep our eye on. God is in control. He knows our troubles. look at Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Luke 12, 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If he then, being not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth, he knows, that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If God knows about and takes care of the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, is he not going to take care of us who were created in his image? The passage I just read. We should always remember that God hears our prayers. Paul, in closing his first letter to the Thessalonians, encouraged them to pray without ceasing. Why? To keep that line of communication open with God, to beseech him, to thank him for the blessings, and to make known to him the things that you need, not because he needs us to make them known to us, to him, but because we need to ask him. We need to be reminded that he is able to deliver that to us, that he will take care of us, and he will answer our prayers. And understanding this will bring comfort to us in both good times and bad. We need to draw strength individually from God's Word. Remember the passage that we read a while ago in Philippians 4, verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to draw strength collectively as God's family. We need to help each other, encourage each other, build each other up. And when we make a mistake, we need to help each other to overcome that. In the very next verse, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Paul is telling them that they've done well because they've shared in his distress. They've helped him out. Remember that he wrote the letter to the Philippians from prison in Rome, and they administered to him and took care of him, and he appreciated it. And it was meaningful to Paul. We should all provide love and support and encouragement to each other. And I think by and large, as a congregation, we do that. There's always something going on in terms of helping one another, a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that nobody knows about except the person doing the helping and the person being helped. And that's the way it should be. In conclusion, we will face temptation. And we must prepare for that battle. And it is a battle against the evil one. We need to put on the armor and be prepared to fend off the fiery darts that he sends our way, the temptations that he lays before us. And we need to remember that when we are tempted, there is a way of escape. We just have to look for it and then take advantage of it. We will face difficulties in this life, but with the strength from God and the support of each other, we can get through those difficulties. We have a better life to look forward to. What better motivation can there be than that? Than to know we have a home that we can look forward to. That there is a home that's prepared for us where we won't have to deal with these difficulties. If we will just take advantage of the opportunity that God gives us in this life. Two scriptures I'd like for us to consider in closing. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A lot of times the things that we get in trouble with have to do with our pursuit of wealth and trying to get what we can in this life. And there's nothing wrong with making a living. But we can't put that ahead of what God needs us to do and what God expects us to do. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think this passage addresses many times some of the difficulties that we fall into. And the other passage is 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, where Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. This passage addresses what I said just a moment ago, that we have a place and a time to look forward to. That when we are through fighting this fight, if we've lived faithfully, we can have that crown of righteousness. As you think about these things this morning, there may be someone here this morning who is not live the kind of life they should. They've given in to temptation. They've let something lead them astray. And you have the opportunity this morning to make that right, to repent of that. It's a sin of a public nature, to make public confession of that sin and to ask for forgiveness in the prayers of this congregation. There may be those here who have never named the name of Christ, who don't have that hope of that life after this one. And you can take advantage of the salvation that He's provided for us. He gave His Son to suffer on the cross as we surrounded this table this morning to remember that, so that His blood would wash away our sins. You can take advantage of that blood this morning by coming forward, confessing Him as Christ, being baptized to wash away your sins, raised to live in newness of life. If you're subject to the invitation, we'd invite you to come at this time while we stand together and sing.